Hello, all. This is Blonde Hair Girl. Every year I get this notification from, it used to be Anchor, but it's now Spotify for podcasters that I create these little blurbs. His name was Marcus Aurelius. I guess you could say his name that way, but I'm not sure. And he has this, he had this book. There's this book that's attributed to him of these writings. And I don't always write them. I podcast them, these thoughts that are going through my head. But anyway, every year they give me this rundown of the last year and my listeners and such. And while I'm not necessarily growing an audience anywhere in social media, to be fair, I am indeed, I have some really loyal followers. And I'm not sure who you all are. Sometimes I wonder if it's just one person. I've made this, there was this movie called, A Phenomenon, and, there was this scene in it where there was this woman who was making these willow chairs. She would make these chairs out of like willow branches or that's the way I remember it. And this gentleman who was interested in her, he bought all of her chairs. And one day she went over to his house and sees all of his, all of her chairs that he had bought. It's like you're sitting there, you're going, okay. Isn't it there thinking, okay, like, is this, what is this? Like, is this a good or a bad thing? Sometimes I wonder if, like, the person, I just have one loyal follower. But anyway, whoever you are, I really appreciate you for listening to my podcasting. And sometimes I kind of disappear on you guys for a period of time, and I don't know when is the longest period of time that I really haven't put out content, but I haven't been putting out as much content recently on any platform, and I've been kind of quiet. And it's like, okay, so, and I wonder if you wonder, you know, like, where the hell is she, you know, honestly, because I know I feel that way. I actually honestly don't listen to very many podcasts. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I listen to a whole lot of reels on YouTube. I watch a lot of reels. In fact, in the morning when I'm getting ready for work or ready for my day, not on weekends, only days that I'm getting ready to go into actually a hospital, I put out reels and I listen to them while I'm getting ready. And then I watch way too much TikTok. I have my my certain people that they obviously know who I like, and so I get caught up on my TikTok. I'll just admit that. But I have a topic that I want to talk about that I feel like I've talked about it before, but I'm going to be talking about it again. But I wanted to preface this with that I think sometimes I feel the space in my life because I really don't have very, I actually, I don't have any friends here. In this new place that I'm living, I have no friends. And people say, oh, well, you need to go get some friends. Okay, well, how the hell do I get friends? How the hell do I get friends? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not really sure how to do that. how to create that for myself. I actually think how did I meet people in the past, but I thought that it was very interesting when I did go home. I went home for Thanksgiving to see my children, and I had a really good time, and I did see my children. But I did not see, I saw one of my friends. And I think these are instances where you find out who your real friends are. The ones that actually take the time to see you or call you or, and I think it's quite telling. Because I chose to move, I am somehow like erased from their life. And I'm actually quite different in that way. I've kept in touch with people in my life who have moved. I still have friends that I was friends with that ended up moving away from the town that I met them in. And I am still in touch with them. Sometimes I'm able to go visit them and everything. And so I just wonder, like, what's that about? I don't know. I think you just find out who really cares about you. It's very telling. And it was also very solidifying in my decision. I mean, minus that I have a child there and actually a home there, I don't know that I ever want to live there again. I may want to visit, but I don't think I ever want to live there again. So I'm trying to build a life, every once in a while, I have this like thought to myself, like I did this thing. I took this leap. I'm a person that I guess is somebody who is able to somehow, I face my fear and I do things and I make changes in my life. And this was a huge change that I moved here by myself and I'm doing it. I'm meeting my commitments. I'm somehow paying all of my bills, and I'm actually doing pretty damn good. I'm like, sometimes I just smile and I'm like this, because I really wanted this change for so long, and I talked about it a lot, especially on YouTube, that I really wanted to move. I've been talking about moving for many years, and then, yeah, I moved. I did this thing, and I don't have massive regrets about it. I'm pretty happy about it, and it's good for me. And I sit here, and I'm like, but then there's also this part of myself, and this is what I want to talk about. This is the topic of this podcast. It's just this feeling within myself of being so restless. Like, it's like, I feel like I consider myself a person who does not change easily. I'm not like this person that really likes change. Like, I noticed that at my work, like, people are leaving, like, they're leaving a lot. And I'm not the kind of person that likes that. I don't really like it that people are leaving a lot. And so I'm just like, are they, and I'm like, and then it's just the job itself, the changes that go on. I'm not always sure, you know, I like things to kind of stay the same, or at least for a period of time, so I can get some, like, you know, get some, like, grounding and, like, really learning in something. And I don't know. I guess I see myself that way. Like, I make these jokes about how I identify as being Piglet if I was one of the Disney, of the Christopher Robin, Winnie the Pooh characters, I would be a Piglet. You know, I'm a little bit fearful in this world. And I saw a license plate yesterday that actually said Piglet on it. And I just laughed. I just thought that was so cute and reminding me of myself. But then my personality does not indicate that. I do these things. I make these pretty massive changes in my life. And I think that I'm getting something out of it. Maybe some hormones, some chemical in my brain, something is going on that I am getting a payoff from change. As scary as it would be, as all of it, it's like this feeling of being just exhilaration. And I just, you know, and I sit here and I was like, God, you know what? I would like to just settle into something, but it's totally obvious that I don't want to do that. It's like, I think I want to do that, but I don't, because you can tell by my life and the fact that I'm always making these changes. And so it's like, so there was this period of time, a very short period of time, because I haven't even been at my employment for 6 months yet. Although it feels like I've been there for years, and I don't know what that means. Does that mean time flies when you're having fun? Like, I have no dread necessarily about going to work, although I work a lot. And I try to keep up. I'm like one of these people at the end of the week, my whole goal is to have all of my paperwork done. I'm also always behind the eight ball. I'm always trying to get stuff done. There was a period of time where there was a lot of change and a lot of people were being let go of at the job that the position I'm at, not in my position or anything, but a lot of people were let go of. You know, I'm thinking that it's like up to like eight people that have been fired. They've used a different word, but they've actually been fired. And I was really concerned about that. Because I tend to be a little bit perfectionistic. Not that I do things perfectly, because I don't, but I tend to, and so I was like, I was, really wondering about stuff. And so I was like, okay, do I need to be looking for another job? So, and I just kind of was like, okay, well, what else is there, you know? And then I happened into this position. And actually, part of the reason for why I was looking at this position was possibly moving from where I'm at to someplace very close, but not here. And it's like story time. All of my podcasts are story time. So here's like a story. So I have this son that my oldest son is diagnosed autistic, and he is living in the town that we were living in before, and he walks a lot, and he had been walking, and some kids had shot him in the face with some kind of BB type gun with water something or others that hit him in the face. And so I get this phone call, and I'm just, as you can imagine, I'm just so upset that this happened to him, and feeling like I can't protect him. I can't protect him from here. But these kinds of things were happening when I was there too. And I'm actually feeling like, generally speaking, he really likes his independence and is kind of in some ways happier when I'm not there. Not that he doesn't miss me, but anyway, so when this thing happened, I was trying to figure out how I could have him and his dog come at least stay with me for a while so that he could see if he liked it here and possibly move here with me, where I could protect him. But he cannot bring the dog here to the apartment complex I'm living in. He cannot have a dog here. I can't have a dog here at all. Not at all. I'll be fined if a friend brings over a dog. I'm not allowed to have a dog anywhere on the property. So I get with the property managers, and I said, because they have multiple properties, and I said, is there any other property that would allow dogs? And she said, no. So I was like, okay. So, you know, so I start to look into rentals, and then I start, you know, okay, well, I could probably drive longer periods of time. And I, you know, like a 30-minute drive as opposed to my 15-minute drive, you know, so what is the difference, you know? But it'll be longer than 30, because it's always longer than you think it's going to be. But I, you know, I'm just like, okay, I know that there's people who drive from even further, you know, but it does, the traffic here, you know, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not great either, you know. So I'm just like, so maybe I would just move. And then in the process of moving, you know, so then I start looking at other jobs, maybe. I mean, like, what other jobs are out there? So there's this position open that working in basically early intervention, working with infants and toddlers with developmental delays, which is something, a position that I just loved. I loved my job as an early interventionist. And I've done that actually within the last 5 years, but I could not seem to make a living at it. And this would be a pretty good living for me. Like, according to them, I would make this much money. And so they had set up an interview. So they'd get with me and we'd set up an interview and everything. And then I I ended up emailing them and I said, you know, I don't know if I can make a move for 6 months because I've also got this other thing going. Okay, so I got a hiring bonus to take the job I'm at right now. So I get this hiring bonus and I get half of it after 90 days and the second half after a year. But if I leave, I have to pay all of it back. I have to pay the first half of the hiring bonus back, which was a little bit scary to me. I was like, you know, what is this about? Why, you know, what is this? Okay, so the weird thing that happened was I didn't get the bonus. Something has been happening that it's been, you know, it's going on to 6 weeks that I have been talking to them about this bonus that I have not received. I did not receive the bonus after 90 days. And so, and I am always looking for like a possible reason on a spiritual level why I would not have received that bonus. And there was something that was a little bit freeing about it, that there was something freeing. It was like, okay, maybe I'm not going to be here for a year at this position. And so so that was part of the reason why I was like looking into this other position. It was really a trust thing for me with the agency or the company that I'm working for right now, that I did not receive this hiring bonus. It was really upsetting to me. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on with this. And and so I did. I emailed them and I said, would you prefer to not have an interview until I'm really more ready to actually accept it? Because we'll see tomorrow if I get this bonus or not. And I guess in my own mind, if I do not receive this bonus tomorrow, I'm going to be open to other positions. Even though I like the staff I work with and I like my job, I really do. But there are aspects to the job that I'm at right now that I'm like, I don't want to get hurt. And when you work in a mental hospital, there is an element of understanding that there's a possibility that one of these clients, these patients, could hurt you. They can be violent. They can yell, throw things, throw punches. I have not had anybody necessarily go after me. I have had a couple of times I've been yelled at, and felt an aggression from a client. But for the most part, you know, but I'm also having the understanding that when you are working with people who are mentally ill to this degree, and you're adding on maybe doing methamphetamine in particular, they come in, they haven't been off methamphetamine that long. And so sometimes they're very erratic and not in their right mind at all. Like, these are not people that are in their right mind. And so there is this element of, on my part, that I really don't want to get hurt. I don't want anybody around me to get hurt. And questioning my own ability to be able to handle the situation properly. Like I'm supposed to be able to do these holds on people. And I don't know if I would actually have the strength to do it. And this fear that somebody might get hurt. And I was talking to somebody at the company that I work for yesterday about it, that I had a friend, I have a really, somebody pretty close to me who worked at these were young girls, you know, under 18 years old. It was a boarding school for girls that were involuntarily held. And her team had really botched a hold, and my friend somehow found herself between her neck, her head, between the thighs of one of the students. And I mean, the student could have killed her. And she was in this position for about 5 minutes before they were able to get her team had botched this. And I don't want to botch a hold. I don't want to do that. So like there's this element in me that, you know, for various reasons, you know, that maybe I would be willing to take in the other job. But anyway, so last night, now that Indeed knows that I'm interested possibly in another job, they're sending me all these job information. And last night, the same company with the early intervention has a supervisory position. And I applied for it. And this is like totally nuts, but I think maybe I would interview with them again. You know, maybe I would set up an interview next week and I would be willing to leave the position I'm in, especially if I do not receive the bonus tomorrow. I'm going to be very interested in leaving. I don't know, just something just doesn't feel right about it for me that I have not received that money. It was kind of a joint effort to get me here, but I spent a whole lot of money to move. And it's actually ended up moving my car here. And I just feel like the hiring bonus was part of the deal. And I have not received it. And it has been financially very challenging for me. I am not making enough money. Nothing against what they're paying me per se, but I'm not making enough money right now to cover all of my bills. I'm not. And this other supervisory position would be, you know, enough for me to be making some money above, it would be more money than what I'm making right now. And so I might be able to actually cover my bills. So I may make this change. But the bigger question is, like, what is this? Why am I doing this? Why do I have this restlessness? Why does it feel like even when I'm quite happy, why do I always feel this, I don't know what it is inside of me for something more or something different or something, what is this? And I do see this sense of the enlightened state would be a state of not feeling this, because I've recently been thinking about it, and I've been saying, I must be getting something out of it, because if I were not getting something out of it, I would not be doing it. And I would tell you, like, once again, that I am somebody who resists change in a sense, but obviously I don't. Obviously I don't, because I tend to seek it out and have this, it's almost like this burning desire for almost like the next experience. And I don't know, it's something that I really need to think about. I was, you know, watching TikToks, and recently I got, this guy had, was talking about a book by David R. Hawkins, MD, PhD. I've talked about him quite a bit in my material because he had, I would say, the biggest influence in my life of any other, writer or somebody who I would follow and want to emulate. I really got a lot out of his writing, and I studied his books quite a bit, and one of them was called Letting Go. It said, The Pathway to Surrender. And so he had this guy on the TikTok had talked about this book and had read this excerpt from this book. So I had the book because I have nearly every book, if not every book that David Hawkins ever wrote. I could not get enough of his writing. I just couldn't. And I really believe that David Hawkins would, you know, anyway, so I've been reading it for myself, but also for my clients. And one of the things that he was writing about in the beginning of this book is, you know, all the things that we do, and it's really funny. He has like 2-page lists of the things that we do, going to tarot card readers and astrology and psychologists and acupuncturists and herbalists and all of these different ists to try to find the thing that will fix us, that will take what I'm talking about, I believe, will fix us from this insatiable, like, desire. And I would think what he ultimately talks about is ways in which we can, I think that he gives some solid answers. So like I did a little group with my clients the other day where I was, you know, where he said, these are the ways in which we deal with emotional crisis. And he talked about how we suppress, we express, and we escape. And I was, because I want to give my clients these solid tools for when they leave. And there are times where we have to suppress our emotions. We absolutely have to, because we cannot, you know, and it's especially important with my clients that they not just act on every emotion. Like sometimes we just can't, especially if it's a relationship or a situation that we value. It is better to suppress the emotion in the moment, to leave the situation, and like that's the third. But it's not necessarily to suppress it in this way, to leave the situation momentarily. It's not the same as escaping it through trying to watch TV or a movie or take a walk or listening to music or, you know, he gave the the subject of making love, and I was like, I would not tell my clients to do that in that particular situation. I would not. So I did not use that as an example, but Dr. Hawkins did. It's like, oh, I'm feeling a lot of things. Let's go make love. You know, I don't know. Using sex as a alternative to feeling our emotions. I'm not sure, especially people who are having addiction issues. But anyway, let me go watch some porn. I'll come back, see if I feel better. I'm actually just kidding, but maybe not kidding. Not that I'm a porn watcher but, anyway, so, so I'm reading this, and I haven't quite gotten to the nitty gritty of this book, but he did talk about, you know, the kingdom being within us. You know, this thing, there's always this pearl, there's always this thing outside of ourselves. This thing, you know, that if I get this thing, I'll be grounded, I'll be settled, I'll be, you know, when I get through this, when I graduate from college, when I do this, when I do that, when I. And yet I don't know that we, because I tend to be one of these people who is very concrete thinker, I don't know that we ever don't have desire whatsoever. But, and maybe just coming to peace with the fact that I just am where I am. That I have not been one of these people who, and maybe I'm not enlightened. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's levels of enlightenment, because I mean, I feel like I have had experiences that would, you know, but I've not reached a state of, or, and I don't even like to reach the state, because even where I'm at right now was graced upon me, that I don't, the reaching for things, you know, the efforting through life for some mysterious thing of sustained happiness. And I have to say, I do feel like I'm happier now than I probably ever have been. I'm happy a good percentage of the time. It's not, but I don't know that we could ever expect to be happy 100% of the time, all the time, in any state. I was talking to my son about that a little bit. My son said, I don't know, Mom, if life is really about happiness. And I think that people sometimes misconstrue what that word means to me. You know, they just want, oh, well, I think contentment. You know, I think it's just, in a way, semantics, but I like the feeling of happiness. And I feel like maybe part of happiness is contentment, but I feel like it's a lightheartedness. A feeling lighthearted, not feeling worry. Feeling just this lightheartedness. I just love that feeling. I know what it feels like to be happy. And I think that it would be a nice thing to have more regularly than just between happy moments. And so I say all of this, and I do feel like I'm happier for more periods of time, but I just wonder to myself about this, like, what am I doing, and why am I constantly in this state of feeling like I need to be kind of like in this ever state of change, you know, which life is always in a state of change. We are always changing every second. We are in movement. And so, like, in all actuality, being settled is an illusion. But it's an illusion that I have deluded myself into thinking is a state that I might enjoy, but clearly it's not, based on my life choices. But anyway, does any of this make sense? Do I ever make sense? I wanted to tell you this really quick story before I go, and then I'm going to go. But I had gone on this trip in September, I think. I think it was the end of September. I got on this trip, and I was on my way home. And I don't think I'm going to fly American Airlines anymore. It's out of the place that I'm having to fly out of now. I'm not really a big American Airlines flyer anyway, but the place I was going, they were better flights than other airlines. So I was on my way back from Florida. I was actually in a place in Florida, and it was on the second flight, because you don't fly nonstop to this place, I don't think, from anywhere, to be honest. But anyway, so I was on the second flight, and they boarded up the airplane. And I was in the back of the airplane, not the back seat, but like in the back portion of the airplane. And I'm sitting there, and they had gotten us all loaded up. And then they were like, you know, well, we're going to be here for a few minutes, which felt really strange to me. And it's like, we're going to be, you know, basically sitting here. And the pilot says, I need a jump. We need to get the airplane jumped. And I'm really not kidding. He really used these words. And there was this man in the back of the plane, back further back in the plane, and that just really is starting to lose it. And he's starting to talk very, like, loudly enough for me to hear, saying exactly what I'm thinking. And he's like, I'm an engineer, and I don't understand. They have to jump the airplane. And he said, and I don't understand why there isn't better air conditioning, because that was another thing. It was starting to get really warm. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I hear this, like, woo, 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 like this dog. Like, and we're talking, you know, like the sound of a bigger dog. Was like a woo, 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 woo from like underneath the belly of the airplane. And I'm getting warm, and I'm getting like really nervous about this dog, you know. So I know my personality. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, this is a 5-hour flight, and I'm going to be sitting here obsessed about this dog. So I have to relieve myself from this worry. And so I say to the flight attendant, I said, I'm hearing a dog barking. Is that dog okay? And at first she says, like, I have no idea. Like, that's the first thing she says. Like, she's honest. She says, well, like, basically, how would I know? And I seem to be the only person who can hear the dog. And maybe the dog was all in my imagination. We're always making jokes at work. Maybe I need some medicine here. Maybe I need to be medicated. I'm hearing things, hallucinations of dogs barking. Anyway, but and then she said, then the flight attendant, seeing that I am not satisfied with that answer whatsoever, she goes, "Oh, no, the dog is fine." And I'm thinking, bull crap, I don't believe you, you know. And anyway, and then all of a sudden, the engine starts, and it's like, like really loud. And I'm sitting there thinking about this dog and the loudness of the engines. And I'm just like, I have this immediate reaction that my dog will never be in the belly of an airplane, ever. So, if I were to bring my son and his dog here, I would have to, you know, find another apartment to start out with. And also, I would have to drive. I'd have to rent a car and go pick him up and his dog. Because there's no way that my dog will ever be in that situation. It was really awful to think of an animal. And I know that sometimes you can bring your animal on the airplane, but I'm not really sure how that works. Like, I don't know, can you buy your dog a seat? I could see my dog sitting and buckling her in. It's just so silly to me. But my dog, it was so good to see her. I really missed my kids, but I'd seen all my kids, but I had not seen my dog in like nearly 6 months. And every morning I got up and I fed her and she licked my leg like she always does. And I just look at that dog and I grab her little face because she has like so much fur on her face. I mean, gently, I'm not doing this hard, but then I say to her, "You set my soul on fire." And it was so good to see her. But anyway. All right, I got to get back to sleep. I appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.